From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Belgian police have released a photo of a third suspect following Tuesday's triple terror bombings at the Brussels airport and a subway station that killed at least 34 and wounded more than 200 others. He is shown alongside two others who are believed to have been brothers and suicide bombers. The IS group has claimed responsibility for the carnage. There may be a link with last year's Paris bombings that killed 130. Two bombs went off at the airport. A suicide bomber blew himself up about an hour later at the Malbeek subway station near EU headquarters. Commuters Wednesday endured long lines and increased security checks before boarding trains.
I don't believe really in it. I think if they want to attack, they can attack also here in the queue. So for me, it's just to ease the people a bit, their minds.
They're just trying to protect us, I think.
Security is logic after the events of yesterday.
Authorities in Frankfurt, London, Paris, and the Netherlands have also boosted security. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry will be in Brussels Friday to formally express the condolences of the U.S. for the loss of life in the attacks. Vice President Joe Biden visited the Belgian embassy in Washington Wednesday.
On behalf of the president, I can say that we are prepared to provide any and all information, capability, technology, anything we have that can be value-added to their fight.
French Prime Minister Manuel Valls has called on the European Parliament to act on authorizing a passenger name record for Europe. Senegalese voters approved a controversial constitutional referendum, voting over 60% yes to cut the presidential term from 7 to 5 years, but the referendum suffered from low voter turnout. Turnout of less than 40% of those registered. The vote also limits the age of presidential candidates to 75 and allows independents to run. This is VOA News. European Union Foreign Affairs Chief Federica Mogherini met with the head of the Syrian delegation to proximity talks in Geneva Wednesday, along with his opposition counterpart and UN envoy Stefan de Mistura. Afterwards, she spoke of the need to reach a settlement so they can focus, the focus rather, can be turned on the real threat facing Syria from Islamic State.
Extremely important. Enter into the political process without delays, without games, with the spirit of reaching a solution.
The head of the Syrian delegation, Bashar Jafri, said he believes this phase of the talks has broken a diplomatic impasse. The talks are to recess for Syrian elections. President Obama met Wednesday with Argentina's new president, Mauricio Macri, at the start of a two-day state visit, the first bilateral visit to Buenos Aires by a U.S. leader in nearly 20 years. Mr. Obama, during a joint news briefing, spoke of his counterpart as a man in a hurry, trying to improve the country's ailing economy.
I'm impressed because he has moved rapidly on so many of the reforms that he promised to create more sustainable and inclusive economic growth and to reconnect Argentina with the global economy and the world community.
President Macri, who took office in December after a decade of leftist rule, signaled he wants stronger economic ties with Washington and other free market economies. The president's visit to Argentina coincides with the 40th anniversary of a military coup supported by the U.S. Mr. Obama acknowledged U.S. relations with Latin American dictatorships in the 1970s damaged its image, but he said he hopes the release of long-classified documents about Argentina's so-called dirty war will rebuild trust. Bosnian Serb leader Radovan Karadzic will hear the verdict in his genocide trial Thursday, involving the 1995 Srebrenica massacre, Europe's worst atrocity since World War II. The verdict will be read out at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. The 70-year-old Karadzic, the highest-ranking person to face judgment before a UN tribunal, he was arrested in 2008 after eluding authorities for 11 years. The UN and rights groups called on Egypt Wednesday to stop the crackdown on rights activists and drop all impediments to their work. 14 international organizations, including Human Rights and Amnesty International, said Egyptian authorities should stop calling rights activists in for questioning, banning them from travel and attempting to freeze their personal funds and family assets. Egypt's foreign minister said authorities support civil society and reject so-called tutelage over human rights from other countries. Police in Kenya's capital say four men burned a car from the ride-sharing company Uber Wednesday, the same day Uber launched services in Mombasa. Tensions between Kenyan taxi companies and Uber have risen over the past month. Cab drivers say Uber's ride-hailing app and lower fares hamper their ability to earn a living. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.